That is so funny. I'm walking up here and Joey's walking down and he looks at me and he says, "Don't mess up." That is so funny. Well, I hope I don't. But thanks for the encouragement, Joe. We are blessed, aren't we, to have witnessed, really over the last couple of months, 5 new births into Christ. You think of Emily, right? Lucas, Wesley, Sam, now Kavika. This week, Kavika and Sam alone. And so I've had this lesson, you know, I've been working on it for a long time and just putting thoughts together and so on. So it seemed like this would be a good Lord's Day to preach this lesson. The only problem is that I've got 10 points. And that's a big problem for you, but for me, because I'm sensitive to you. And I'm not going to stand up here and preach for an hour this morning. And it could be much longer than that with these 10 points. Now that I've become a Christian, now what? What should I do? Well, there's a lot more than these 10 points probably, but these are the 10 points that I worked on. And I'm going to introduce these 10 to you briefly, and then I'm going to focus in on some main thoughts. I think one of the things that I've been trying to share with Joey this summer as he's interning here and learning how to put together lessons and how to preach them is we've really been talking a lot about focus in your lesson. What do you really want to accomplish? What do you really want to get across? How do you, and Dee Bowman uses this phrase, storm the will? How do you get people to think about something that's important to them that they can change or grow in or develop in or convict them maybe even of some sin in their life or convict them of some great faith that they've been lacking in and trust in God that they've been lacking in? So focus. And so, you know, when you have a lesson that has 10 points in it, if you cover each one of those points, by the way, you're never going to cover each one of those points sufficiently anyway. And when you're done covering all 10 of those points, what are people taking away? What, you know, you just basically went through, and this is the way I preached this many, many years ago. I actually preached a lesson similar to this, and I just went through the 10 points, and when I was done, I felt like no one took away anything. Because all I was doing was going through the motions of trying to get these 10 points across. And I didn't really change anyone. I didn't really storm the will. I didn't really focus in on something. So here's the 10 points. We're going to go through them real quickly. And then I want to emphasize something with you this morning. And this is not just for these 5 new Christians. I want you to think about this in terms of you. Now what? Now that I've been a Christian 20 years, now what? Now that I've been a Christian 40 years, I've been a Christian 40 years, now what? So all of these points are very pertinent to each and every one of us, regardless of how new or how old we are in the faith. So let me go through this very quickly with you, and then I want to focus in on something. Number one, stay glued to the Lord. I thought of this first because when Barnabas was sent to Antioch, this new congregation that had Jews and Gentiles now for the first time, he went there and he saw the grace of God and he was glad and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with or remain true to the Lord. And that word continue there, and it says remain true in the ESV, is a word that comes from a root word to be glued to. And I think the King James translation is good, to cleave to the Lord, to cleave to Him, to hold on to Him. And the reason why I thought this was a good first point was because ultimately that's the bottom line. From this point forward till the day you die, you cleave to the Lord because He is your only hope. You can trust Him. If nothing else works for you in this life, and that's not likely now that you're a Christian, but if nothing else were to work for you in this life, if this life would turn out for you to be an unfortunate life of pain and suffering and sorrow, again, not likely to be, because you're a Christian now and you receive so many blessings. But let's just say, if this life were of no value to you whatsoever, you cleave to the Lord, because the Lord has something in store for you that is an incomparable weight of glory beyond all comparison. And He is the one who will bring you home. You can count on Him. He said to His apostles, "Believe in God, believe also in me. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may come." So cleave to the Lord above all things. Second, and maybe of first importance in this whole list, is to die to self. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment. To die to self, what does that mean? Jesus said in Matthew 16, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" And this really gets at the heart of the matter, because the idea of gaining, we look for gain in this life. And that's normal, that's natural. We've been given dominion over this earth. And we're supposed to go out and work, and we're supposed to gain, and we're supposed to grow in our capabilities. And so we focus on careers, education, making money, and so on, providing for a family. All of these things are very important things that God blesses us with the opportunity to do. But what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's what Jesus is hammering home here. And so you need to deny yourself, because what self does is gets in the way of serving Christ. Deny yourself and take up his cross. That means you die. When you take up his cross, that's a metaphor for you dying. That's what happened to you five when you were buried with Christ, and it's happened to all of us who are Christians. When we were buried with Christ and died with him, we died to self, we died to sin. And that's something that's a concept that we can't really grasp clearly. But you need to focus on that. You need to keep coming back to that. Your problem and my problem and everybody's problem is self. And if you really want to be blessed in this life and reach eternal life, you're going to learn what Jesus means by deny yourself. That's where the blessing comes. And there's scripture all through that emphasizes this. One that came to my mind was in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where Paul said it is more, that he quoted Jesus, and he said, "The Lord said it is more blessed to give than to receive." That's so true. But you don't know that right away. You have to accept that by faith. You have to get the concept of dying to self deeply entrenched within you so that you can receive the blessings. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Trust that. Trust Jesus, your Lord. Trust it is more blessed to give than to receive. But self wants to take. Self wants what it wants for itself. And so your mindset has to change into one who is denying self. And you're doing that because you trust Jesus. You trust the Lord. You trust Him. You don't even know what it means yet to deny yourself. Not really, not yet. You're going to learn if you trust the Lord. And when you learn that, He will continue to heap the blessings upon you. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 says, "And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." We read that, but we better understand it. We better begin to think about that and to let that govern our mindset in every way. I no longer live for myself. Oh, really? You see, that's hard, isn't it? Because self wants me to live for self. But I no longer live for myself, but for Him who died for me. That'll change your life, won't it? And it'll change your life as you renew your mind. That's the next point. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Renew the mind. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, we have the mind of Christ revealed to us through the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, God's goal is for the Word of God to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's a high calling, isn't it? You have to die to self. You have to renew your mind. You have to allow every thought to be captive to the obedience of Christ. But what does self want? Self wants you to serve it, and now you're serving your Lord. And so in order to renew your mind, you've got to crave the Word. You lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Why? Because those are things that are contrary to God. And as newborn babes, you desire the pure milk of the Word, or the pure spiritual milk, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have you tasted that? Have you tasted the grace of God? Then crave the Word. Crave the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow, because you are now a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ, and you are blessed for it. So listen to me. Die to self. Die to self. Crave the Word. Change your mind. Change everything that you think and make it line up with the Word of God. You're going to have to desire the Word because you trust God. And so you devote time in prayer because it builds your trust in God, your relationship with God. As Jesus was praying in a certain place when he finished Luke 11, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. That's something you're going to have to learn. You're going to learn to pray. And it's sometimes a difficult process for you to learn how to pray, because that's why Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them. And so prayer becomes a discipline. Prayer becomes a focus of your life in your relationship with God, and you learn to pray. And some of the greatest faith is expressed in our public prayers that we are blessed to engage in. By the men who lead these prayers, the faith that we have in God is expressed through them, and it shows a relationship with God that we need to develop in our private, personal lives. You're going to assemble with the saints. You're going to make it your highest priority to assemble and to continue steadfastly in the assemblies of the saints. That's what Jesus wants. That's the will of God. You're going to trust Him. You're going to trust Him, and you're going to assemble every time you possibly can with the saints. And you're going to make sure that you understand that it's His will. It's not the will of men. You're not submitting to the will of men. You're submitting to the will of God. It's Jesus' will that you assemble. In Acts 2 and verse 42, after the first 3,000 Christians were baptized into Christ, became Christians, died with Christ, the very next verse says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I looked up that word, and it means to adhere to. Steadfast means to adhere to be devoted to, or constant. Unremitting care. Continue all the time. Persevere and not faint. And then I like this last one, to show oneself courageous. Just because sometimes it takes courage. Sometimes we don't feel like assembling. Sometimes we are focused on self. Be courageous. Do the Lord's will. Submit to Him, because you need to assemble with the saints. As Joey said, this is the family of God, and I want to focus in on that in just a moment a little bit more. Next, become a slave of righteousness. You know that. Now that you have died to sin, Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 17, "Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." So that's part of the renewing of your mind. As you learn what is right and what God wants, you're going to become a slave to righteousness. You become dead to sin. And there's so much more to talk about in regard to that. And you're going to learn more and more what righteousness is toward God. And you're going to become a slave to it because you've died to sin because Jesus died for you. And then here's one I want to focus in on a little bit more in just a moment as well. Serve all you can. I like Hebrews 6 verses 9 through 12 to teach this point. The writer of Hebrews says, "Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." Yes, things that accompany salvation. Do you see that? Things that accompany salvation. What things accompany salvation? Well, I don't have the verses up there. "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name." Your work and your labor of love. What work? What labor of love? What things that accompany salvation? And what is his point? "In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." That's the word for service. You have served the saints and you do serve. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And let's go back to dying to self. You see, this is what it means, partly what it means to die to self, is you now no longer serve yourself. You serve Christ and you serve others. That becomes your focus. I'll come back to that in a minute. Have compassion for the lost. And this is the new mindset that you learn through Christ. Because I don't, by nature, have compassion for people who are offensive, inconsiderate, rude, wicked, evil, or who hurt me. I don't really, by nature, have compassion for them. It's only through Christ that I can learn to have compassion for the lost, to really start to see people differently. "We no longer regard any man according to the flesh," Paul said, because we now see everybody as lost, and we now have compassion like Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Well, there you are. You are a laborer. How you doing? You're a laborer that the Lord has sent out into the harvest. And the only way that you're going to harvest is to be like Jesus and have compassion for people. To say a kind word to one who's being offensive, hurtful, wicked, evil. To introduce people to the idea that they need salvation from their sins. To have compassion for people. And then finally in the list, keep an eternal perspective. Always. And it goes really back to the beginning. Stay glued to the Lord. Keep an eternal perspective. This world is a world of futility. This world is a world of meaninglessness in many respects. We can become attached to so many things in this world, but ultimately this world is a world of futility. Nothing really matters except being with God in glory. Nothing really matters. You can't take anything with you. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And right before that, Paul says, "With food and covering we shall be content, because naked were we born, and naked will we return." There is a futility to this world. And so keep an eternal perspective. Always stay glued to the Lord, no matter what. He will never fail you. People may fail you, but the Lord will never fail you. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope." That's what we have, is a living hope, a hope that lives in us each and every day through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Samuel and Kavika, that's why you were baptized into Christ this week, is because you put your faith and your trust in Jesus the Lord, the Christ, the Messiah, who died for your sins and gave you a hope of an eternity with God in glory. And He's going to be with you as long as you are with Him, as long as you stay glued to Him. He's going to be with you all the days of your life, and He's going to take you home to be with Him in an imperishable, undefiled, unfading glory. And so keep an eternal perspective. Colossians 3, if then you were raised with Christ, and that's what happened this week, Samuel, Kavika, you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. These are good reminders, aren't they, to all of us who have been Christians? They're good thoughts to continue to dwell upon. In fact, I thought about this. If we come up with a second group of studies, spiritual principle studies, maybe here would be a good starting point for a list of 10 lessons that we would introduce to new Christians. But now I want to focus in on what I consider to be the most important point. I shouldn't say it that way, because I just don't believe that. The most important point is number one and number two. Stay glued to the Lord and die to self. But I guess what I'm about to talk about just for a few more minutes is the idea of dying to self, very much so, and staying glued to the Lord. But I want it to be something that you remember this lesson for, because I don't think you're going to remember all 10 of those points. No quiz afterwards, no quiz next week. But what are you going to remember? And here's what I want you to remember. D. Bowman wrote a book. I have it in my library. I forgot to get it and bring it and show it to you. But he wrote a book called It's All About the People. And D. Bowman's a preacher of the gospel for many, many, many years. He passed away recently, maybe a couple of years ago, I think. And I knew Dee, and I studied with Dee and had classes with him down at Florida College and listened to him preach a number of times. And I just remember how I didn't, you know, he didn't know me very well. He didn't know Jenny and I very well. And Joey was born 20 years ago, and we were at the North Livingston congregation down in Tampa. And Dee Bowman was there visiting. And we hadn't seen Dee in probably 10, 12, 14 years or whatever. And again, didn't know him all that well. He didn't know us all that well. But when he saw Jenny and me and little baby Joey, he came up to us and he said, "Oh, this must be little baby Isaac." And that was a reference to my old age when Joey was born. But he called me by name. He said, "Hi, Jerry. How are you? Hi, Jenny. How are you?" D. Bowman remembered people's names. I don't know how he did it, but he remembered everybody's names. He could meet you one time and 20 years later, he'd remember your name. And he wrote this book called It's All About the People. He wrote an article before he passed. It's on a website at the Southside Church of Christ. He wrote an article called It's All About the People. I want to read you a few words from it. He says, "The Bible is a book about people. It uses the lives of people to teach and illustrate truth and righteousness, rebellion and impiety. People are the ultimate products of God's creation, the only part of His creation blessed with a sense of ought, the will to determine which way to go, which path to choose. He has set before man a blessing and a curse, a blessing if he seeks after the good, a curse if he seeks after his own desires in preference to what God has commanded. Jesus spoke of this choosing when he described the two ways a man may choose, a broad way that leads to destruction or a straight way that leads to eternal life. It's people who make these choices. They do it of their own free will. God has given us illustrations, great illustrations of faithfulness couched in the character and personalities of people. For instance, have you ever considered the faithfulness of Abraham, the virtue of Joseph, the wisdom of Solomon, the meekness of Moses, the devotion of Paul, or all the others? On and on we could go. What about the heart of David, or the humility of John the Baptist, or the courage of Peter, or the love of the Apostle John, or the encouraging words of Barnabas? They were all people. People just like you and me. And God has given us information about them so that we might learn how to please Him and what to do to avoid His displeasure. What a wonderful book, this Bible. What a people book. And that's what I want you to remember from this lesson. It's all about the people. You look at this list of things that you're now thinking about because you're a Christian. Things that you've been thinking about for many, many years since you became a Christian. What's it about? It's about your relationship with God, and it's about your relationship with people. It's all about the people here. And when we forget that, we lose sight of everything that is most important. And so when you look at this list of assembly and continuing steadfastly, why do we assemble? The Bible says to encourage one another, to stir up one another unto love and good works. Why do we serve all we can? Because Christ is the ultimate servant, and He gave His life for people. People who would come to Him and be saved and reach eternity in glory. People who would be blessed by love in the here and now. People who could serve and be served and share experiences of relationship through love and kindness and goodness. It's all about the people. And that's what I hope Joey gets most out of his internship here this summer, is that he understands it's not about putting the lessons together. It's not about writing Bible studies. That's all helpful and good, and we need to do that. But it's about the people. You learn to love people. And we're not lovable oftentimes. Sometimes we are, and it's wonderful. It's awesome. In fact, it's the most satisfying thing of all, is to have people be so lovable and so good and so kind and so gracious, so forgiving, so helpful. It's the most wonderful thing of all. But sometimes people aren't lovable. Sometimes people challenge us. And when you think about studying with the lost or reaching out to the lost, it's particularly that way. Sometimes people frustrate you and are not what God wants them to be. And it's discouraging. Sometimes brethren frustrate you and they're not what God would have them to be. And you love them. You care for them. You die to self and live for Christ. You die to self. Self doesn't want to keep giving when people aren't lovable. Self doesn't want to do that when people frustrate you or irritate you or demand from you. Self doesn't want to do any of that. Self doesn't want to sacrifice time. Self doesn't want sometimes to assemble because that day it's a particular burden and our heart's not right and our head's not thinking right and we're not glued to the Lord like we ought to be, and so it's a burden. Self gets in the way of loving people. And it's all about the people. And that's something we can take away from this lesson. That's something we can go home with. That's something we can think about with our wife and our husband and our children. That's something we can think about the next time we're irritated or frustrated with a brother or sister, or when we want to be quick to criticize, or we want to be quick to judge, or we want to just feel imposed upon by somebody. That's something we can take home with us and remember. So, now what? Well, you tell me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Appreciate your good attention this morning. If you're here this morning and not yet a Christian, I hope you've been able to get an idea of who Jesus is. Good leadership this morning by everyone participating in the worship. Thank you for your thoughts and prayer and songs and the Bible reading and Clint at the Lord's table. Thank you for all of that. I hope you've gotten a good sense of who Jesus is. And I hope you've been attracted to Him. Not to us. We're not all that lovable sometimes. But Jesus is worthy of your love and your trust. And so if you're ready to obey the gospel this morning, or if you'd like the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need may be, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.